I'm Carrie Nolan. It's Monday, August 23rd, and time for WQXR's Washington Report Online. David Sanger joins us now. He's the chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times. Good morning, David.
Morning, Carrie.
David, last week, the last full U.S. combat brigade finally began to make its way home. There are still 50,000 non-combat troops in Iraq. The president hasn't talked much about the combat troops coming home, but he will give a speech addressing the withdrawal this week. What are the political benefits to this withdrawal?
Well, the biggest benefit to the president is that this was a promise that he made during the presidential campaign. More importantly, it was one of the cornerstones of his campaign. He announced that Iraq, to his mind, was the wrong war, not the central front in the war on terror, and that a place that we needed to get out of. And so he will be saying in his big speech this week that the United States is well on its way out. At the same time, he doesn't want to do a mission accomplished kind of speech. First, because we will have another 50,000 troops there through the end of 2011. And secondly, it's very possible that Iraq, in its messy move to a partial democratization, could end up becoming a very violent place full of upheaval over the next year and a half. And, of course, when that happens, many of the president's critics will say he pulled out too fast.
Do you think this speech will make people wonder whether this seven-and-a-half-year war was worth it?
Well, certainly this would be the moment to ask the question, what are the big lessons from Iraq? Was it worth 4,400 American lives and more than 100,000 Iraqi lives and maybe more than that? Advocates of the American experiment in Iraq, led by President Bush and his former aides, will all say that it was, that it rid the Middle East of a dictator and created at least the semblance of democracy in the middle of the Arab world. But the American question is going to be, was that the right American role? And in the end, was the benefit to the United States of getting rid of Saddam Hussein worth the enormous cost, a cost much higher than the one that was projected during the invasion in 2003.
You mentioned lessons. Can the Iraq withdrawal teach us any about the potential withdrawal of troops in Afghanistan?
Well, certainly there are some lessons from the Iraq withdrawal. I don't think there's any question that President Bush's decision to conduct the surge in 2007-2008 contributed greatly to the ability of the U.S. to bring troops down now. And many people were against the surge at the time, including Barack Obama as a senator who denounced it, and I think now would somewhat grudgingly admit that that strategy not only turned out to be right, but turned out to be one of the models for the surge now underway in Afghanistan. The difference is that Iraq has long had a tradition of having a strong central government. So even in 2008 and 2009, there were Iraqi military units who were capable of beginning to take the lead as the American troops receded a bit. In Afghanistan, that's not the case. It does not have a tradition of a strong central government or a strong central military. And so far, none of the American combat units that have been working alongside the Afghans have been able to turn over the lead to the Afghan forces the way the troops in Iraq were able to turn them over to Iraqi forces.
Let's bring it home. President Obama arrived on Martha's Vineyard over the weekend for vacation. Presidents tend to take their holidays in August, so why is President Obama taking so much heat in the cable news world for this particular vacation?
Well, I think he's taking heat for a number of reasons. As you say, many presidents take vacations in August, and most of them have taken vacations a lot longer than the 10 days that President Obama plans to spend on Martha's Vineyard. And, of course, a president's never really on vacation. They start their day with the same intelligence briefings and, you know, try to pack as much of their vacationing in around other work. But in this case, I think there are two things at play. One is that the First Lady took a lot of heat for her trip to Spain with one of her daughters. And I think that was in part because at a time of high unemployment and recession in the United States, or just emerging from recession, the idea of a vacation for the First Lady that seemed to be an expensive one and a foreign one. Nothing goes over worse in political terms than taking your vacation abroad. You'll notice the president did not go along on that one. And Martha's Vineyard has often seemed to be sort of an elite playground on the East Coast. It's a place George Bush always used to joke about that he'd never go to, you know, sipping white wine, I think he said once, on the bluffs of Martha's Vineyard. It just seemed to reek of East Coast elitism to him. That doesn't seem to bother President Obama. It didn't bother President Clinton, who also spent his family vacations on Martha's Vineyard. During far worse economic times, presidents used to disappear. Herbert Hoover, a president few modern presidents would want to be compared to, would go fishing for nearly a month at a time down on a river in Virginia and just have couriers send him notices of what was going on in Washington. FDR would retreat to Hyde Park, also a place of considerable privilege, but I guess people understood that when they elected FDR as president.
You spent a month with President Bush in Crawford, Texas in August of 2001. Tell us about that.
2001 was particularly notable because it was during that vacation that the president received the intelligence updates that bin Laden determined to attack U.S. and had some hints of plans to hijack airplanes. Now, how clear those were at the time has long been a matter of debate. But there's always been an impression that that was the vacation where President Bush took his eye off the ball. And you never saw him spend as concentrated a period of time in Crawford after that.
Things are pretty quiet in Washington these days with everyone seemingly on vacation. Anything you have your eye on?
Well, I think the president's speech is going to be interesting, along with a speech that Vice President Biden is giving to the veterans of foreign wars today that will also be on Iraq and Afghanistan. But the only big issue the president has immediately on his agenda is that as soon as he returns from Martha's Vineyard, there'll be this meeting to get direct talks going between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and he's going to be the host of that. So it'll be his most direct intervention into the Mideast peace process.
Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you, Carrie.
New York Times Chief Washington Correspondent David Sanger. I'm Carrie Nolan, and that's the Washington Report on Classical 105.9 FM, WQXR.